Chapter 28. A Dance at Park House. The following Saturday evening, there was a dance at Park House. As they were getting dressed for the party, Lucy told Maggie the good news.
Guest and Company have made Mr. Wakeham an offer for the mill, and he has accepted it. Isn't that wonderful? You see, dear Maggie, all the obstacles to your marriage with Philip shall be removed one by one. I have been so clever. I spoke to my father about the mill, and he spoke to the company. Then I spoke to Philip, and he spoke to his father. And now it is all done.
Ah,
said Maggie, with tears in her eyes.
Then my father's last wish has come true, and Tom will have the mill again.
Yes, he is moving there tomorrow, and you and Philip can be married now.
Lucy, I too have some news,
said Maggie.
I wrote to our old teacher, Miss Furness, and asked if I could teach at her school. I received a letter from her today. She says that there is work for me, so I will be leaving on Monday.
Maggie, cried Lucy, why didn't you tell me before? And Philip? I thought everything was going to be so happy. Oh, Maggie, why did you do it? Write to her and tell her that you cannot come. There is nothing now to keep you and Philip apart.
Yes, there is,
said Maggie.
There are Tom's feelings. He said that if I married Philip, he would never speak to me again, and I know he will not change.
Let me talk to him, Maggie, said Lucy, eagerly. Tom always listens to what I say.
But I must go,
cried Maggie, in a distressed voice.
Don't make me stay, dear Lucy.
As Maggie, Lucy and Mr. Dean entered the great ballroom at Park House, they remarked on how lovely it looked, brilliant with lights, flowers and music. At first, Maggie refused to dance, but after a while the music was too strong a temptation, and she danced with pleasure. Stephen had decided not to ask Maggie to dance. He danced with Lucy and with some of the other young ladies, but all the time he was thinking of Maggie and Philip. Some of Lucy's remarks had suggested that she thought of Maggie and Philip as lovers. Stephen began watching Philip closely, and he saw that Philip often looked at Maggie with longing in his eyes. Philip was Stephen's closest friend. Here, he told himself, was another reason to resist the attraction that was threatening to overpower him. Yet, the idea of Philip as Maggie's lover was disgusting to him and made him feel even more strongly the desire to run to Maggie and claim her for himself. While dancing with Lucy, Stephen imagined himself dancing with Maggie. The thought of having her hand in his for so long was like the thought of cool water to a thirsty man. When the dance was over, Stephen saw Maggie sitting alone at the far end of the room. He made his way towards her, around the couples forming for the waltz. When Maggie became aware that he was coming to her, she felt warm and happy. Stephen bent over her with a look of tenderness.
It is so hot in here,
he said.
Would you like to see the conservatory?
Maggie had resolved never to be alone with him again. But, now that she was leaving St. Ogg's, what harm could come of enjoying herself for this one last evening? She took his arm and they walked out through the empty sitting room and into the conservatory.
How strange the flowers look with lights among them,
said Maggie.
They seem like flowers in a fairy story.
Stephen said nothing, and they walked on, each intensely aware of the other's presence close by. The fact that they must soon part made these moments together painfully sweet. They paused by a rose bush.
Ah, how lovely the roses are,
said Maggie.
I would like to pick one and breathe in all its scent.
And she reached upwards to pick a rose. Who has not felt the beauty of a woman's arm? Maggie's arm was fine and shapely, like the arm of a sculpted goddess from the Parthenon, but warm and alive. Stephen leapt forward impulsively and kissed Maggie's arm. But Maggie snatched her arm away from him and glared at him, trembling with anger and humiliation.
How dare you! What right have I given you to insult me?
She cried. She ran away from him, back to the empty sitting room, and threw herself on the sofa. This was her punishment for the sin of allowing herself a moment's happiness that was treachery to Lucy, to Philip, to her own better soul. Stephen came up to her, looking humble and miserable.
"Please leave me alone," she said.
He wanted to beg her forgiveness, but he felt he must obey her. When he returned to the ballroom, the waltz was not yet over. Maggie went back to the ballroom after a few minutes. She did not dance again that evening, but she talked to people and watched the dancing, and slowly her composure returned. She felt finally free from the fascination that had been tempting her for the past weeks. Now, she felt, she could leave without regret. She could do her duty willingly. And, as she rode home in the carriage holding Lucy's hand, she felt grateful that she had been saved from hurting her gentle, unsuspecting cousin. The next morning, Philip came to visit. Maggie sat alone with him in the garden.
"I have found new work, Philip," she said gently. "I am leaving tomorrow for Miss Furness's school."
"Why, Maggie?"
asked Philip in distress.
"You know the mill will soon be your brother's home again. I told my father all about our meetings in the Red Deeps. He was angry at first, but he is not angry any more, and he wants to meet you, Maggie."
"I'm sorry, Philip,"
said Maggie.
"I can't. Tom would never forgive me. I desire no future that will break the ties of the past, and the tie to my brother is one of the strongest. I can't do anything willingly that will divide me from him."
"Is that the only reason?"
asked Philip, looking at her closely.
"Yes,"
said Maggie, and she believed it.